Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies, and I sound better this week.
Yes, you sound better, and I actually had some sleep last night.
Right, I'm pretty sure that we both sucked at being Fat Guys at the Movies last week. So.
We were sick and tired. So Sick and Tired was our show.
Right, that was it. But this week we are back. We are significantly more energized, significantly more medicated.
Well, you are at least.
Mine's medicated at least. So we're here to bring you some movies. We're going to talk about probably some bad films this week.
This week, let's just put it this way. This week is not the week you want to hedge your bets on going to the movies, necessarily.
Right. Although...
we are professionals. Don't try this at home.
Although I've heard that there's a VeggieTales movie coming out, so you know, there you go.
Tops the list, I'll tell you that. That's a preview of what's to come.
Exactly.
But before we get there, how do you get in hold of us?
If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can get us over on fatguysatthemovies.com. You can also catch us on iTunes. Go to the iTunes store, just search Fat Guys at the Movies. If you'd like to email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. We always appreciate reading emails. And another thing we like to get is voicemail. You can leave us a message, 614-388-8733. And there you have it.
There we go. Now let's jump right in. Look at the. Let's do the best first. it would be the VeggieTales movies. Not to say that the VeggieTales is the greatest movie ever. It's not going to win any awards coming up. But up against what it is, it's got a lot going for it. This is VeggieTales, the pirates who don't do anything. A cucumber, a gourd, and a grape travel in time to become pirates in order to save a princess.
From the creators of Jonah, the most successful vegetable movie of all time.
How do you start this thing?
Comes the pirates who don't do anything.
We landed on a beach. I was running from evil seas. Something came up behind us. It was a rock monster.
That's something you don't see every day.
Get them!
Rock monster!
If you haven't seen the VeggieTales, you have to understand they're animated vegetables. It's really,
I was gonna say this one just sounds so fun.
Yeah, it's cute. The thing is, I don't know if you know the history behind VeggieTales. It's a Christian-based.
It's probably why I don't like it.
That's right, because you hate all religions, I guess. No, it's a Christian-based video series, and they're very cute, but it's not like everything's not all Bible stories and all that sort of thing. There's a lot of stuff that has nothing to do with it. It's just wholesome and has good morals, but they do deal with the religion aspect as well.
Right.
The first movie they did was Jonah, a VeggieTales movie, which was obviously had a biblical significance because it was retelling the story of Jonah and the whale, and that was when you first introduced to the pirates. This one has significantly dialed down the religious references.
It's unless you subscribe to the religion of pirates.
Well, I mean, if you look at it and you watch it, you can pull some things about saying, well, this guy represents God or something like that. But it's really, really...
it's kind of like the Golden Compass in reverse.
Well, no, the Golden Compass had... it was a little more overt than the Golden Compass, even though that was dialed down as well.
Right.
But the VeggieTales movie, it's cute. And if you like the VeggieTales and you've got the video series or you've seen them or you've been to Chuck E. Cheese, they play them at Chuck E. Cheese.
Right.
And you'll like it.
They play them at Chuck E. Cheese? Does that mean Chuck E. Cheese is a Christian organization?
Well, they don't play the Jesus ones at Chuck E. Cheese. They play stuff about hairbrushes and belly buttons.
Oh, okay.
So
I don't know how you can make that religious, but I'm sure.
Well, yeah.
I'm sure they can find
a way.
That's
the thing. They're not everything is. It's not like, it's not like Little Prayer Warriors or anything like that. And nothing against that. I mean, gosh, if it works. But this is one that's kind of broken out of the mainstream, out of the sort of like the Christian community into the mainstream. It sort of has the potential to be, it's not as big as like the Backyardigans or something like that, but it could have
gotten
there. You have no idea what I'm talking about because you don't have kids.
I am just not, no, I have nothing.
But it's cute. I mean, this movie, they go and the characters, it's got the cucumber, the gourd, and the grape. It doesn't have the tomato in there. There's other vegetables that were left out of this salad.
Right.
But I'll tell you, it's cute. I took my kids. They enjoyed it. They had a blast watching it. It's got some very funny moments.
Right.
Sedgwick the gourd is actually the funniest character in the film. The only thing I was a
he's
little
he's probably the fat one though, right?
He is the fat one.
See,
that's
the
right.
fat one's always the best one.
Fat guys are jolly. Just look at us. Exactly. I'm never cantankerous or mean. But I'll tell you this about the one thing that I didn't like is they didn't have enough of their songs. They're really known for silly, goofy songs, and they don't have enough.
For a second there, I thought you were going to say they didn't have enough nudity in the movie.
That's right. No, there's plenty. There's tons of... There is absolutely... It's just loaded with vegetable nudity. Go at your own risk.
Ways that you can tell we've worked together too long when you start a sentence with, they didn't have enough, and I think... boobs.
Yes, that's right. Well, you know, we were talking earlier off the air. I recently interviewed Dolph Lundgren, and my question was about his movie. This has nothing to do with the VeggieTales, but I said...
It's all right. We pitched a whole segment for this, yeah, so we can away.
I'm like, Dolph, you got all these... You got great, you know, action and violence, and you shoot a guy in the face. That's awesome. You're not going for a PG-13 movie. Where are the breasts? Where are the naked women? And he assured me, personally assured me, that his next movie is going to have plenty of that.
Right.
And naked vegetables as well. Awesome. But I'd say VeggieTales kind of rocks. It wasn't a laugh-out-loud riot, and it wasn't as great as it could have been, but it's very cute. Kids will like it. And,
right.
and obviously, VeggieTale fans are going to like it as well.
Sure. I mean, if I were a VeggieTale fan.
If you were a vegetarian.
I don't really know what to say about this. I didn't see it, obviously.
You haven't seen anything this week. You have been an absolute slacker.
I'm pretty sure, and the doctor could not confirm this, but I'm pretty sure I was going to die this week.
Did you have it penciled in?
It was on my plans. Well, it's been two things. One, I've been sick all week, which you heard last week on the show. I was pretty
like
atrocious.
Even like Barry White.
My mom called, and she said, I listened to your show last week, and you sound terrible. You need to go to the doctor.
Does your mom sound like a guy trying to sound like he's gay?
No.
Does she have that lisp?
She doesn't sound anything like that.
I was about to say, you got like...
I had to disguise my voice so you didn't know it was me for a second.
I'm sure your mother's very sweet. I love the shirt she gave me, but you didn't do her justice with that.
But anyways, but I'm also preparing for Sundance, which is something we're going to talk about later in the show.
Absolutely. Are you going to actually watch movies at Sundance, or are you just going to sit in the hotel room?
I'm
going to
go sit in the hotel room and be like, wow, this is awesome.
Look at adult films.
I was actually
going
to go skiing for a couple days.
Really?
And just kind of hang out with my peeps.
Your peeps.
Which also happen to be movie geeks.
Movie geeks. And one cool person who we won't mention.
Right. Fair enough. So with that, we could go to break. We'll be back to talk about more movies and stuff. And we're back here on Fat Guys the Movies. And Kevin, the next movie I'm seeing on the list is First Sunday.
Do you have to sound that one out? You really
It stars Ice Cube and Tracy Morgan.
Yes.
There's no way this is going to be good.
You are correct, sir.
I didn't see it, but I know you didn't like it.
No, I did not.
But I think we should probably play a clip, right?
Yes, let's play
a clip. We'll introduce the movie for us.
Okay. Well, First Sunday, Ice Cube and Tracy Morgan stars two small-time criminals who try to rob a church of its Sunday offering.
Oh, God.
I'm not robbing no church. When Darrell Jr. is in Atlanta calling some dude daddy, don't be mad at me.
They won't shoot the man.
Get down. Somebody got a gun.
We didn't come here to hurt nobody. All we want is the money.
This is not even my church. I saw this on MySpace.
Open up that safe.
It's gone.
The money we came to steal, somebody stole it.
Who would steal money from a church?
Well, let me tell you, this is the thing about First Sunday. It will make you find religion. I will tell you that. I have to start off by saying Ice Cube is surprisingly dynamic on screen. In the other
he's
movies
a good
I've seen,
actor.
He's a good actor, and he's incredibly relatable.
I loved him in Next Friday.
Oh, all the Friday movies. He's funny. Right. And in, well, not the sequel, but the Are We There Yet? He was very... He's relatable. Even though he's got that kind of tough guy image, he still has... Right. He works on screen. But let me tell you about this. He's paired with Tracy Morgan, who I like to refer to as the Black Dane Cook.
Oh, wow.
Because I hate him with a passion. He is so screamingly awful as a comedian. And people are like, I love Tracy Morgan. He's awesome. And he's on like 30 Rock and he's terrible. I can honestly say I have never seen anything from his Saturday Night Live days all the way to present, seen anything Tracy Morgan's done that I think he's remotely funny in.
Right. I thought he was funny for like the one scene that he was in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yeah, that's what everyone throws at me.
Give me the map, okay, Scott.
Yeah, maybe. Okay.
But yeah, so he was funny in that, but that it's like, you know, 30 seconds of his entire career.
Have a whole movie.
I agree. I don't think Tracy Morgan's that funny. Like, for some reason, I see him on screen, and I was like, okay, I know why this should be funny, but I'm not laughing.
Yeah, and now somebody who is funny is Cat Williams, who's absolutely hilarious, and he's a scream. He's in this movie. The problem is he's just thrown in as sort of like he just throws out these lines periodically. He's really not an integral character.
You hear it if he's the full trailer. He's got the
he's got one-liners all over the place, and he's funny, but it doesn't fit in the movie. Ultimately, you know, you've seen movies where people say, well, that movie was just one big Saturday Night Live sketch that was bad that just kept going.
Right.
This one's sort of like five bad Saturday Night Live sketches crammed together. They keep going on too long. It's the most ridiculous premise. They don't even try to make things even remotely close to how things would. I mean, yeah, right. I know it's a comedy, but you gotta have a little bit there. Like then everything's like bad jokes or old jokes or predictable. There's a scene where they go to a massage parlor and Tracy Morgan's getting a massage. He's like, oh, this is wonderful, everything. And you're watching it and you're going, okay, the person giving the massage is either gonna be fat or it's gonna turn out to be a dude.
Yeah.
And guess what? I'm gonna blow it for you. Turns out to be a dude.
Right.
Big surprise.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, it's not that's everything's telegraphed to you. It's awful. Don't go see this movie. You will be stupider if you do.
You will be stupider.
Yes. That's a real word.
I don't disagree.
But let's talk about another movie that you haven't seen, but I haven't seen this either. Oh, first of all, that's a full-on blown sucks canal water, to steal a line from Bacon, who we had on a couple weeks
sucks
ago.
Sucks canal water. That's my favorite Bacon line.
The next movie, which you haven't seen, I haven't seen either, because
they didn't screen this crap.
Nobody screens this movie. In the Name of the King, A Dungeon Sees Tale, Uwe Boll churns out another surefire piece of crap based on a video game.
In my world, the king's arm is expected to protect the kingdom, not just the castle.
Galleon is raising armies. Vast armies.
Those who you fight, we will help you fight them.
King called upon you to face death. Tonight we dress our wounds, bury our dead. Tomorrow we gouge evil from its shell.
One thing you can't tell from the trailer is it actually looks like it's going to look good. I mean, it looks like it's competently shot.
Right.
It's got some neat action in it. But wow, Uwe,
you know
Boll,
what?
It's just terrible.
I was, you know, as the editor of Film School Rejects, I have to go through pretty much all of the news that comes through the wire. And in looking at some of the press materials for this thing, I saw Burt Reynolds
as the king. Yeah, Burt Reynolds
king,
as the king.
And I instantly flashed back to the atrocious black period of my life that was Aragon. And thinking of Ray Liotta as the bad guy,
Ray Liotta's the bad guy in Dungeon Siege.
In Dungeon Siege, no,
it was
John Malkovich.
Yes, who played John Malkovich
as the bad wizard, and I cannot think. There is, why do these actors do this to themselves? I mean, Ray Liotta made Wild Hogs. He was great in Wild Hogs.
Oh, he's
okay.
Awesome. Yeah.
Ray Liotta. Even his role in B movie was funny. This movie, there's no way he can come out of this and people will say, you know what, that was a good choice.
I'm sure it'll be
you
fun.
Can't even like,
well,
what,
Burt Reynolds,
did
I
get paid a lot of money or something like
I
that?
Think Uwe Boll has this like whole, you know, dungeon himself that has all these pictures of people in compromising situations.
Oh, it has to, because he gets all these huge, like Jason Statham.
Yeah. Well, no, he did this before, like, did Crank and everything, where he really, really blew up.
Oh, yeah,
that's
right. This movie was made in, like, 1984.
Something like that.
It is just being released now.
Well,
they're like,
Burt Reynolds,
we really need something for January.
I think what's going to happen with Burt Reynolds is I think I think I'm going to have flashbacks to Boogie Nights.
Oh, my God.
And so just insert your favorite Boogie Nights quote when you see him on the screen, if anyone goes sees this movie. It's going to be awful. You want to know something terrifying? The movie's 2 hours and 4 minutes long.
Oh, my Lord.
Which is scary enough. There's a 164-minute cut that Uwe Boll got rejected to the theaters. He had to cut it down to 2 hours to get Freestyle. I think it's Freestyle who's doing it?
Freestyle releasing, I think so, yeah.
So they rejected his close to three-hour monstrosity. So
3 hours?
I'm sure it'll be on DVD. So I'm going to give a full-blown preemptive suck for this one because we got to go to break.
Totally.
Do you agree? Do you disagree
at
all?
I totally agree. I can't agree more with you, Kevin. I will never agree more
history is
with you
being
than I do right now.
With Uwe Boll.
All right.
Flowers lonely, I burn out slowly like a cigarette. But you kiss me.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies, and now we're in our segment, internet only, for those of you who are on the radio. Fuck you, you're not listening to this. So,
for those of you who enjoy cursing, welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Because we can do that, because it's the internet.
Right, the interwebs, they have no laws.
That's right. We are now going to be talking about box office.
Yeah, lots of box.
Let's talk a little bit about last week's box office first.
Sure, well, it was another National Treasure weekend.
Yes.
Go figure.
Well, but the big surprise was Juno was number
two. I was going to say that. That was going to be the next thing I was going to say, but you jumped ahead of me.
I stole your
That's
thunder.
That's fine. Again. But National Treasure made $20 million. Juno made $15 million in less than half of the theaters. So Juno, once again, at $8,000 per theater.
Much to the chagrin of Bill Clark at FromTheBalcony.com.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who hated
the
movie.
We should maybe talk to Bill, because I would imagine that a movie that's making that much money in that few theaters is probably pretty good.
Well, and here's the thing where I think discredits Bill a little bit. I saw him tonight. We were at the Central Ohio Film Critics Association Awards banquet, I guess. It was
a gala. It
was a gala.
I wasn't there because I didn't want to spread my SARS around.
That just sounds gross. but this is where Bill's credibility completely crumbled in terms of Juno. He was then going on, because I was telling him how much I hated First Sunday. Mm-hmm. He said, I loved Keith David in Men at Work. And, I mean, we're not talking the band. We're talking about the movie with Charlie Sheen, Emilio Estevez, Men at Work. And the thing is, he keeps going on about it, too. It's not just, oh, yeah, I thought he was funny. And he's like going on about this was an awesome movie. My brother and I watch it every year. It's like It's a Wonderful Life at Christmas. So,
dude, what?
Honest to blog. I can't believe this guy.
Oh, my God. Phuket, Thailand. Anyways, that's a line from Juno. Oh. Get with it, home slice.
Oh, okay.
All right, so you know, anyways.
I was trying to get, I think I told this once on the show, I was trying to get amorous with my wife, and I called her home skillet.
And she didn't know what that meant?
Well, no, just let
me. It was
me,
almost like if you were to tell her fanboy, she was a fanboy.
Well, yeah, let me just warn everybody out there. Home skillet is not the trigger word to make a woman want to have sex with you.
As if there was ever a word that would work.
Oh, there is.
Home skillet's not
it. Phuket, Thailand. That's what it is.
So, anyways, back to the box office. I Am Legend came in third. Alvin and the Chipmunks continue to go strong. $15 million.
Well, those three were like all separated by like $1 million.
Yeah,
they were
it
very,
went
very
20,
close.
And then it went 15.8, 15.7, 15.5. And then 12.5 was One Missed Call at number 5, which is the only wide release, which was universally pooped on by critics.
Including me.
Including but not limited to Kevin Carr of FilmSchoolRejects.com.
Who wasn't even I was quoted, but it was Film School Rejects that was quoted. Which,
well, that's because Film School Rejects rules like that.
All right.
So, anywho.
And I guess I blew my prediction because I said it. I didn't think it was going to make the top five.
It did. It made $12.5 million on people that were just like, wow, I wonder if this is going to be bad.
Yes.
And then they left the theater halfway through the movie and said, yes, it was bad.
Yes.
I wonder if they can track like returns, people that demanded returns on their money.
I don't think
you can.
It's not even that good enough of a movie to get that passionate about.
Yes, but I will say this. Aside from Juno at $51 million, which it's almost the highest grossing Fox Searchlight release of all time. The biggest one was Sideways at $71 million, and Juno is currently at $51 million.
Really?
Yes.
Didn't The First Hills Have Eyes do pretty well? And
that's Fox Atomic.
First Hills Have Eyes was actually Fox
Searchlight.
Yeah. And so was 28 Days Later.
I don't know if they well,
they started the Fox Atomic label after they realized that they were making these horror movies that weren't quite the same as Juno.
They weren't independent. Well, I mean, they were independent, they were just gory. But I will say this, the probably the biggest surprise of 2007, now spilling into 2008, is Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yeah.
Which has made $176 million, and it only cost $60 million to make.
Yeah.
That My Name is Earl guy has got to be rich off this movie.
Oh, well, I don't know if he, at least the Chipmunks are.
Oh, my. Those Chipmunks, man, you haven't.
I think Jesse McCartney is pulling in some dough from that movie.
No idea how awesome that is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so there you go.
About what we expected, but Juno, big surprise with Juno, and a little bit better on One Missed Call than I thought.
And moving on, this next week.
Ugh, wake up here. What, am I supposed to get sick now?
This next week, we have The Bucket List is going wide.
Yes.
Finally, which has been getting a lot of good buzz. It's been making a lot of money in very few theaters. So
it's a good movie.
I think a lot of the predictions are leaning towards Juno at number one and The Bucket List at number two, and then National Treasure, and then all the other crap that came out this week.
I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Uh-oh.
It's January.
That it is.
I honestly have a feeling First Sunday, as bad as it is, ooh, I think it's going to take number one.
Okay. I am a firm believer that Juno is going to be number one. It has been number one every day.
How much
this
more
week.
Is it expanding?
I don't
know. I mean, if it stays with its theater count, honestly, I think First Sunday, you know, the January has had a history. You had, like, Are We There Yet? Was sort of that urban. A comedy that did very well.
Juno's going up another 500 theaters. It'll be in 2,500 theaters.
I would say First Sunday is has a shot at number one. It may be, but right. If not, it'll be number two. I really don't think it's one of those things. I think people are discounting, and it's as bad as the movie is.
Yep.
I think
The Bucket List, it's either going to be Juno or The Bucket List at number one, because The Bucket List is going up by 2,800 theaters.
And it is getting some good buzz. It's gotten no awards buzz, but I think people like it.
Right. People like it. So there you have it. I mean, my top five is it's going to be Juno, Bucket List, National Treasure, probably First Sunday, and Alvin and the Chipmunks.
I think it's going to be First Sunday, Juno, The Bucket List, then National Treasure, then Alvin. I think way at the bottom is going to be VeggieTales, and the reason is I think they're marketing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do screenings in Columbus. I had to go to Cincinnati, so they did it outside of they only did like the top 20 markets, mm-hmm. and it's being marketed to the Christian stations. Nothing against Christians, but
they already know
about it. I mean, they didn't market it outside of its target demographic. They should have marketed on regular stations and gone after just kids in general, which they're not. They're hoping for word of mouth, which is probably a mistake.
Right.
Wake up, Neil.
Dude, I'm totally with you. All right, cool. So we got to...
no, you're not.
That's the box office. We got to move on to... We got to announce some winners of...
And Dungeon Siege is gonna sink.
Not even close.
It's going to sink like whale turds in the ocean.
Whale turds.
Yes.
I wonder if those float. I doubt it.
I've been on a cruise twice, and I've never seen whale turds floating in the ocean.
All right. Well, fair enough.
So I would bet
I don't even know what that would look like. Like, what is a whale turd look
You know,
like?
I saw Shamu poop once.
Really?
Yeah, honest to vlog, I did. Honestly, I did. It was back when SeaWorld was...
This has to be interesting.
This is a true story. Well, it's not like I walked in on him and he's reading the newspaper.
Somebody's in here.
Hey, they're occupied here. Get out of here.
Kevin's like, but I wanted to poop in the pool too.
I'm like, I have to go. No, it was back when SeaWorld was in Ohio. It was up in Cleveland, near Cleveland in Aurora.
Right.
You've been there. You're from Cleveland.
Yeah.
And I was there, and Shamu, it ends with Shamu getting on the, there's a little ramp. He comes up on the ramp and he kind of displays himself. And then he sinks back in the water. And as he sinks back in the water, just boom, this enormous brown cloud just exploded out of him.
Dude, that's amazing.
And then it just dissipated into the water. And we're like, those people in those first 10 rows were pretty disappointed.
Because they got splashed with poop water.
That's right.
It doesn't become real unless you actually have to see the animal.
You see it,
poop.
You're like, oh, so that's in the water.
So that's what's in the water.
That's why it's so salty.
Yeah. Anyways, don't lick the water off your kids, people.
What are you talking about?
Just follow my lead here.
What kids are you running around licking?
I'm not licking any of them.
They're not like tiger cubs coming out.
These are perfect reasons why I'm not licking any of the kids.
Good, don't. Stay away from my children.
So anyways, so we got to announce the winners of our Death Sentence caption contest.
That's right. Death Sentence came out on DVD this week, unrated, right, with plenty of blood and gore and revenge.
Plenty more James Wan-ness.
Yes, James Wan, who loved the name Film School Rejects, by the way.
Hey, dude, everybody likes it.
Yeah. We had a contest, caption contest, with Neil looking very pervy. And me looking actually slightly less pervy, but still a little pervy in the background, while Kelly Preston is screeching in the arms of Kevin Bacon.
Right. So we have
Three winners.
We have three winners.
For three DVDs.
Yep.
Caption contest, very popular, and we got another one coming up we'll talk about in a second. But let's hear the winners.
Yeah, so the first one, his name is Nick.
Well, first of all, go to Fat Guys at the Movies, click on the show links. And you'll get to the link of that.
And
gotta look at the picture.
We'll have the quotes in there, and just in case you can't hear what I'm saying. The first one's from Nick. He said, "One of the guys from Fat Guys the Movies, Kevin Carr, wants to meet you. He's a big fan. What's wrong?" As if Dr. Neil just told her that Kevin wanted to meet her, and she freaked out.
Yes, which is very possible because they shot Mischief, which was one of her first movies, in Ohio, actually. Yeah. Back in the mid-80s, and she was totally naked in it, which is awesome, but I had anything to do with it. But she was just hot. But apparently, when they shot that scene, they really kind of had to lock down the street almost because people were trying to get glimpses into the window. Because it's Kelly Preston naked, and she was like 20.
Right.
She was hot.
It was right after Space Camp.
Yeah. I mean, she's hot now. Yeah, Space Camp, which was a terrible movie, but she was hot.
I love Space Camp. I don't know.
It would have been nice if she would have hoard out.
But speaking of Space Camp, the next one is from Chris. He says, the quote is, "Aw, come on, cheer up. All we did was say that we loved you in Space Camp."
Which she was. She was hot in Space Camp.
Which is something I would totally say to Kelly Preston if I ever met her. I'd be like, Space Camp rocked, dude.
Well, in my aforementioned Dolph Lundgren interview, I'm like, I loved I Come in Peace. He kind of brushed that one off. He's like, I don't know. Most people like Rocky IV and Universal Soldier.
Right.
Space Camp. No.
I love your obscure films, sir.
Space Camp. The problem with Space Camp was a stupid little robot.
Dude, don't.
Jinx.
Yes.
Like a robot's going to accidentally reprogram the space shuttle. Jinx. I want him to go to space.
Wow. Wow. Anyways, so the third one and final one is from, I hope I don't butcher this name.
My favorite.
Sabine? Okay.
You're asking me like I know.
I know. I'm just having the curiosity at the end of the sentence. And this one really didn't follow the rules because the rule was what did Dr. Neil say? But instead, this is what Kelly Preston says, and it's, "No, don't discontinue the Whopper."
Which just makes me giggle because it's about the Whopper.
Oh,
and man. I have no idea what I'm doing in the picture about the Whopper. I must be happy that they're...
We need... I tell you what, for our next contest, which we're going to announce here in a second, you guys need to be paying attention to where Kevin shows up in these pictures. What or how many times Kevin shows up in the picture, because I think our producer Richard really has a lot of fun with placing Kevin in the most inopportune spots.
He likes my naked picture.
Well, that makes me nervous. So, but what's our next giveaway? We got a good
We got another one thanks to the good folks over at 20th Century Fox, I think. Is the one who produces it, but as well. We have The Girls Next Door season 4 on DVD. Now, this is the thing, and I want to preface this by saying, while they do kind of irritate me, the girls, if you at all want to watch the show, watch it on DVD, because it's uncensored. Not only is it uncensored by language, but they're at the Playboy Mansion and they're Playboy Playmates, so they're like naked through half the episodes.
Oh, that makes so much more sense why you like this show so much.
I don't like the show that much, but I like the nakedness
a lot. I have a feeling this is going to go over pretty well because I've seen some of the rough drafts of the picture. We don't have it ready yet, but I've seen some of the rough drafts.
I can only imagine.
You can only imagine what can be photoshopped together with myself and Kevin and the girls from the girls next door.
Bridget, Holly, and Kendra.
Yes. So there you have it. That is our next giveaway.
I was angling for an interview with Bridget because she's a huge horror movie fan.
Right.
And Bridget's my favorite.
She's the older one, right?
Yeah. Well, she's not. I mean, she's older in the sense that she's like my age. She's like in her
early. Which is old.
But like there's she's like in her early 30s, I think, something like that.
Right.
Holly's in her late 20s and Kendra is like 22 or something like that. And of course Kendra's the freshest one, you know, she's the one
right.
who's you know has fewer years on her, but she's very ghetto even though she like grew up in the suburbs and she's just kind of obnoxious. Whereas in Holly, I'm not a big fan of Holly. Bridget, though, she's cute and she likes horror movies. I was angling for an interview, but I don't think I'm going to get it. I think they know what a perv I am.
Yeah.
But she's a Playboy. Playmate.
Like,
come on.
This Kevin Carr guy wants to talk to you. And they're like, no.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure. I haven't watched the DVDs of season 4 yet.
Yes, you have.
No, I haven't. Don't lie. I haven't looked. My son took it out of the package and he looked at it. He's like, oh, there's kissing in this movie. And I'm like, yeah,
there's a lot more than kissing.
You're going to be raiding my DVD cabinet in about 5 years when you go through puberty. And so I'm watching, but last season, season 3 was just loaded with TNA. So,
okay.
And it's annoying to watch on E because it's all blurred out and then blurred and beeped. Why watch blurred and beeped when you can see, you know, breasts and butts? That's the best I could come up with.
All right, man. I'm down.
So go to Film School Rejects. Go to Fat Guys at the Movies. We'll have links to the caption contest.
Hopefully.
I hope so. we've committed to this.
We will. Now we've said it on the air, we have to do it. We weren't going to do it before. But anyways, we'll take a break. And when we come back, we're going to run you through the top 10 people in Hollywood that we love to hate. And we're back here, Fat Guys at the Movies. We're continuing on with our internet-only content. That's all I have to say about that.
No swearing in this one?
I thought you were going to lay down a swear word, but that's fine.
Pussy fart there.
Wow, that is your favorite one.
That's my most favorite sort of like.
So in true Fat Guys at the Movies tradition, if we don't do a top 10 list, we get flames. If we do a top 10 list, we get flames. We are going to do an interesting one this week. In honor of Uwe Boll coming out with another movie, yes. We are going to do the top 10 people in Hollywood that we love to hate.
Yes, and these are people, this can be anybody, writers, directors, actors, somebody who we either love to hate or just really like to make fun of, too.
Right. And you know what? A lot of this list probably won't be a surprise to our hardcore listeners, the ones who have been here all along, because, well, I think we've...
You hear that, Mom?
I think we've campaigned against some of these people. In fact, I know
we have.
So start with... You can do number 10, this one's...
Number 10 is... I have a beef with those two of the five writers of Scary Movie who are responsible for movies like Date Movie, Epic Movie, and Meet the Spartans. Because they've used that line in like all their advertising. And
right.
The movies just suck ass.
Right. But I tell you what, these guys make bank.
I
will give them a little respect because they make a lot of money off the stupidity of the audience.
Well, so do drug dealers.
That's also
so
true.
So do people who made First Sunday. So I'm not going to respect them at all.
Okay, fair enough. Number nine.
You didn't make this list, but you should have been on.
Number nine. Who doesn't hate Tom Cruise?
Well, apparently the dead L. Ron Hubbard who has semen frozen and put into Katie Holmes.
That's pretty awesome. Is that true?
That's a rumor, actually. That's a rumor.
Really?
In that unauthorized biography that L. Ron Hubbard, they had frozen his sperm and used it to impregnate in Katie Holmes, and that's Suri isn't actually Tom's. It's L. Ron Hubbard's. Because L. Ron Hopper, I mean, because Tom doesn't like chicks.
Right.
He can't get it up when he's with a woman.
Wow. How did Katie Holmes get sucked into this? She was such a nice girl on Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, but she can't act, and she's terrible now.
That's
and
true.
She's like, what guy can I latch on to that still has money and gets movies?
Tom Cruise. And he's going to
Do you like
Messiah.
Me in Batman? No, I guess not.
And he's going
to
be a messiah of a fake religion. So there That's you right. go.
He's number one.
He is.
Take that, John Travolta and Kelly Preston.
Yeah, seriously. That's what Kelly Preston was so upset about.
That should have been the caption. It's like, no, Tom Cruise is more important than your husband. No!
He's got less thetans. So there you go. Number eight. Go ahead.
Oh, number eight, Michael Moore. Moore, the controversial filmmaker who did Sicko this year, that is losing out actually some awards for best documentary over under King of Kong, which
was an awesome documentary. And I tell you what, I like Michael Moore's films, but he's annoying sometimes.
Well, you know what,
get over yourself.
I'm gonna do a little plug because I know somebody up in Flint who made a movie about him, and this is one that's it's getting reworked a little bit. And I mean, this guy's a diehard Democrat, and he uncovers some things about Michael Moore, like the fact that he had, like, you know, all these environmental violations. He's violated election law. He's invested in Tyco and mm-hmm. Pfizer and Halliburton, and like all that Cuba stuff in Sicko is completely fabricated. And he actually, this guy I know, takes people with hidden cameras and goes into real Cuban hospitals, and it'll make your jaw drop. It's hideous what actually goes
right.
on. So, but Michael Moore, you're a douchebag.
Okay. And number seven, I am very angry at this man because for some reason he still keeps popping up. And even worse is that Sean Penn is getting recognized during award season, and everyone is all just slobbing all over Into the Wild. That movie was terrible.
Wow. Tell us.
That
it
was the most incoherent piece of shit of the entire year. Yes, this is the internet only segment. I just said that. There is a scene in Into the Wild, and I don't want to spoil it for you, where he's sitting there eating an apple and he's like talking to the apple like the apple is his freaking friend. And then at some point during the scene, after he's done having a conversation with a piece of freaking fruit, he looks at the camera and he becomes aware that he's in a movie. The character looks into the camera like, I'm here. There's a camera. No, there was no fucking camera in the middle of the Alaskan wilderness where this apparent real guy went to die and whatnot. This is the stupidest movie of the year.
Wow.
But everybody's like, oh, Venom. It was so great. It was so... Sean Penn is such an auteur. No, I could have crapped out better with my webcam on my iMac. Okay? Better narrative than what Sean Penn delivered to us on film.
Do you think this has anything to do with the fact that Robin Wright Penn's leaving him? Or was it because he had like a lesbian three-way?
He had a lesbian three-way?
I had read somewhere that she left him because he was of infidelity, because she caught him in bed with like two women. And I'm like, you got to have to sit there and say that, you know, if you got the opportunity. That's
no, I don't believe that. That's not true. He was banging two dudes, okay?
Was it Tom Cruise?
It was Tom Cruise and someone else on this list. So.
Michael Moore. Oh, who
yeah.
wants to see that?
Anyways.
Midget little Sean Penn and midget little Tom Cruise golfed by the rolls of Chubb off
atrocious.
Of Michael Moore.
Anyways. All right. Moving
That's
on.
The Cloverfield monster.
Moving on.
That's the Cloverfield monster.
Oh, I hate Sean Penn.
God. Okay, let's go to number six. Let me get some venom out. Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
This woman is like one of the worst actresses who is considered a great actress.
Yeah.
This is her in every movie that she's like, all you need to do a British accent, and it's the worst British accent. It's like, it is like on the level of Dick Van Dyke from Mary Poppins, bad British accent.
Right.
And everyone like gushes over her. She named her kid frickin' Apple.
I will say this.
She needs to be shot.
She was the most disappointing interview that I've ever done in my life.
Did you interview?
Oh. Yeah, at Comic-Con last year.
Well, wait, was it
Iron
an actual
Man.
Interview or was it like it was yelling at the stage?
No. It was a round table, so there were other journalists there. But it wasn't because of the content of the interview. But, I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow so far up until that point, I thought was a very good-looking woman. Then I saw her, and she looked like she was going to die.
Well, did
she
the,
was
is
very
her,
sickly.
Is her overbite bigger in real life?
I don't know. I didn't even notice. She was so freaking skinny. It looked like if I shook her hand, she was going to crumble.
Did you shake her hand?
That would
have been awesome. That would be the great the
I
news.
I broke Gwyneth
Internet
Paltrow's
journalist disintegrates Gwyneth Paltrow. Breaking news at Comic-Con.
Oh, man, it was so... Oh, she was just not attractive at all.
Okay.
So, moving on, number five.
More people are no
actually,
longer
no,
attractive.
Actually, no, this one is attractive for the fact that Lindsay Lohan has a seriously addictive personality. So, let me tell you what...
She's a nutcase.
First, she was an alcoholic. Then she was a drug addict. And then apparently I heard this from that snowboarder guy. They went to rehab together, and she's a sex addict now.
Ooh, rock on.
She's taking a turn for the better, Kevin.
Well, you know, that's
she's
nice.
She's not going to be on this list next year.
Well yeah, if you can run into her. You're going to Sundance. Maybe you'll run into her, and you'll be like, I hear you're a sex addict. You want some fat guy love, baby?
I've got a lot to give Lindsay Lohan still. I've seen Mean Girls like 25 times,
Well, here's
man.
The question. Isn't like sort of like it a little bit too much pressure if you're like dating a sex addict?
No.
I mean, isn't
maybe.
It kind of like, oh, geez, do we got to do it again?
Sure.
You're done. I saw Louis C.K. And unlike Dane Cook, I'm not going to steal some material. I'm going to credit him. And I think it was Louis C.K. And he's talking about how he was dating a sex addict. And he's like, it was, you think, oh yeah, it's awesome. And it's not, because when she's done, I'm like, ah, and she's like, let's do it again. And you're like, really? So, well, okay. You know, the thing, you know why I don't, well, Lindsay Lohan, she's just fun to watch self-destruct. She's like Britney Spears. And the thing with Lindsay Lohan is she's pretty, but what ruined it for me, this is what totally ruined it for me. I was, and this was years ago, I was looking at something where it was, I was on some celebrity site or whatever, and there was a little video of her dancing. I think it was before she actually turned 18. And somebody posted in the comments said, oh my God, she's so hot, I'd eat her poop. And ever since that, when I see her in a remotely attractive situation, I picture her pooping. And I'm like, it kills it for me.
Oh my God.
So that when you run into her at Sundance and you're going to have your sex addict party, think of her pooping.
Thank you. Appreciate that. It's awesome. All right, cool. Let's get this next one over with.
Okay, number four. I force this on the list, Michael Bay. And I think as much as you love him and you would eat his poop, I looked at you and you're like, yeah, maybe. Who knows? It might taste like chocolate pudding. You know, who knows?
Might taste like Optimus Prime.
Who owns my soul.
Who owns my soul.
But... you have to admit, this is appropriate for the list because I love hating Michael Bay.
You do. And I love hating you for hating Michael Bay. So, number three is Kevin Car- No, I'm just kidding.
Yes.
Who out there wants to, man, yeah. It's terrible.
You think Michael Bay is so hot, you'd eat, well.
I would have to seriously consider that offer, depending on what I was getting out of it.
I think that offers on exactly what you're getting out of it.
You're getting poop.
You're getting poop for dinner.
Number three, speaking of just plain poop, Mick G. He didn't do anything in 2007 except get announced as the next director of a Terminator movie.
And which people freaked
instantly
out.
Everyone's like, wow, this is going to suck. So what did they do? They had to go out and get Christian Bale to play John Connor. Just to get people to shut up about Mick G.
And like I said, with the rebound effect on this, then they're going to get like, Tara Reid's going to be in it.
Right.
And then they'll be like, we got Ian McKellen. And we're like, yeah.
And she's going to play the Terminator. Actually, have you seen the promo for the Sarah Connor Chronicles?
Oh, it looks awesome. I'm
Terminator
ready to DVR.
Chick is hot.
They're all hot.
This is awesome.
I would let myself get killed by that.
I would.
If she was naked.
Yeah. That, dude, could you imagine that?
That Terminator chick is so hot, I'd eat
wow.
her poop.
I would eat her steel poop. So... there you go.
I'm going to be thinking that Sunday night when I'm watching the damn show.
You are.
You're like,
it's going to be awesome.
Wonder what her poop tastes like.
Yeah, speaking of, you know what, though? I need a break here before we get to the top two. People's poop I would not eat.
Yes.
The American Gladiators. Because they look like they poop logs. Like, I'm not kidding you. There are some big, big, big girls in that show.
They're eating lots of protein and fiber.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, dude. No way, man.
What about the guys? It'd be like, two... like how you love everyone.
No, dude.
I draw the line.
If it was American Gladiators, it would be like two girls, one bucket. So, you know, but anyways, moving on to number two.
No pun intended, I guess. Which is so appropriate for the
Thank God this is internet only. If we sent this to Wyoming or any of the other various markets that we may or may never be on, they'd be like, fuck these guys. Oh man. And they're a Christian station too. They're like in between the VeggieTales, you just hear in between the VeggieTales commercials, you'd hear a producer go, fuck Fat Guys the movies.
You know, I'd keep the VeggieTales away from the American Gladiators. They would devour them.
Did you watch that show?
No, I watched it in like the 80s when it was originally
on. No, the new one is awesome. That's all you need to know.
Okay.
Except when you start thinking about what would happen if they were pooping.
Okay.
Okay, let's go. Dude.
Speaking of poop. Dane Cook, the bane of my existence in 2007.
Yeah, I don't know how he didn't make number one.
Well,
maybe it's because I like the guy.
Like, it's possible,
I like
but
his comedy.
Well, we all know who's going to be number one. So, but Dane Cook, I ran a campaign, had an overwhelming response, ridiculous number of dates.
A lot of other people hate him too.
Wow, people just hate this guy, and right. We ran a ribbon campaign, and you know, had an overwhelming. We still get a trickle smattering of people still wanting ribbons. So,
right.
You know, Dane Cook. And I got offered a chance to interview him, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm going to be like, question number one, why are you such a douchebag? I mean, I honestly couldn't interview the guy unless he knew why I would be interviewing him, because Dave Metzger from Bullseye was saying there might be, I'm like, I don't know what I'd say. Because
yeah.
I couldn't give a, because half the time the publicists listen in,
right.
And what am I going to sit there and say, okay, so are you really that retarded, or do you just act that way?
So I started this campaign for people that hate you wear these brown ribbons.
Is your real phone number this number that was left on our website?
So, and finally, number one, and I will tell you why this is number one, because this celebrity would not face Kevin Carr in an eat-off.
Yeah,
he backed down like a bitch.
Yeah, he wanted to beat people up in the boxing ring, but he completely pussed out when I said, hey, let's eat a bunch of Hostess cupcakes and see who finishes first.
Right. He is a weak-willed man. His name is Uwe Boll. He has a movie out this weekend that no one is going to see.
Except me.
Except Kevin, for some reason. Well, we gotta have
you want a damn review on the
site.
That's
right. Don't worry. It's tax deductible. So, but anyways, Uwe Boll, he just makes crappy movies.
Well, and this is the other reason why he's number one. Not only is he terrible, because I don't think he's ever made anything good. That's very hard to say about somebody. Because even like Dane Cook, there are some things that I've found him... I thought he was funny in Waiting, for example.
Right.
I thought there are some things that I think...
His comedy CDs are funny.
He has his moments. But Uwe Boll has a consistent, steady stream of crap. He is an asshole of Hollywood that always produces crap. You're never going to get, you know, nice, you know, biscuits and gravy out of that. You're always going to get crap.
There you go. So, and we have two.
And we love hating them, too.
Yeah, we have two honorable mentions. The first one's yours.
Yeah, Katherine Heigl. She's not yet at the point, but she's saying some dumb, stupid things and getting married on a whim and then bragging about how they didn't live together, but, you know, I'm a whore anyways kind of thing. She's going to be on this list next year.
Wow.
Along with Tracy Morgan.
Along with Tracy Morgan. Okay, cool. And mine was Harry Knowles, not because I hate Harry Knowles personally, but I just love the rip on the guy because he's just Harry Knowles.
Yeah.
Like he loves every freaking movie that comes out. And
he's like,
sure,
Geely, that was
sure,
awesome.
Dude, I'm pretty sure he's on the payroll at Paramount because every Paramount movie that comes out.
He loved Aeon Flux.
He loves
In fact, his headline was
everything.
Aeon Flux is not Aeon Sucks. And I'm like, did you see the movie?
Like, he just came out. The reason I think is because I was just reading his Cloverfield review. And I haven't seen Cloverfield, so I don't know if this is not true.
You never know.
He did say, hold on, I have the quote handy.
He talks about the Cloverfield monster owner. He did say
it was utterly brilliant. It is a bold genre reinvention unlike anything we've ever seen before. I don't think J.J. Abrams could come up with something that we've never seen before.
I think Harry Knowles would eat J.J. Abrams' poop.
I think he would. He may have. So I just...
Depending on your review of Cloverfield, he may.
He annoys a lot of people. You know, I personally have respect for the guy, but...
I respect the hell out of the fact that he's made something out of just a website that goes bleh, basically. But I mean, I'm utterly stunned that the guy's. I respect the heck out of the fact that he does all that.
Right.
But he's still an idiot.
So there you go. So there you have it. Those are our 10 people in Hollywood that we love to hate the most. I'm sure that list could go on forever. So when we come back, we will have cleaned up for the sound off section, and we'll be back on the actual radio. And we have returned. We are back in radio mode.
We need to clean up our act.
If you go and, well, first of all, if there are any children in the room, send them out. Not for this segment, but send them out. Go to fatguysatthemovies.com. Listen to the internet-only segment. It is probably the most ridiculous thing you'll ever hear in your life.
So there you go.
So there you go.
But now we're back on the air, and we're ready to clean ourselves up and be good little boys.
And it's time to sound off.
Yes.
So first topic we have this week, Kevin, is Pete Hammond, the quote-whoring...
Yeah,
film critic horror. From Maxim magazine. If you have ever bought a DVD, his name is probably on it somewhere. Every single freaking quote is Pete Hammond, Maxim magazine.
Here's a funny story. I just reviewed for Film School Rejects Beta House, American Pie Beta House, which is sort of like Animal House meets Revenge of the Nerds with more sex and less story.
Right.
I liked it because I'm like, hey, it lived up to what it was, but I didn't think it was great. His quote's on it. It's like, the most outrageous American Pie yet. You know, it's like it was written by a marketing guy.
No, and that's the funny thing is he's been accused so many times of, you know, studios just saying, hey, would you put your name on this quote? And him being like, yeah, sure. You know, so it's really, you know, just...
Although I know a guy who does that.
Yeah, well, I mean,
and I don't blame him. He gets flown out to all the junkets.
Right. So, you know, there you go. So Pete Hammond has been canned. It was brilliant. It was moving. It was probably the best firing we've seen all year.
Yes. And what was the circumstances? Was it like, many quotes?
It has not been revealed.
You said Corky Romano was a great movie.
If you look at it, I mean, they probably just fired him for being a crappy film critic. Oh, but you know what?
Does he actually review the film?
He's got the... Well, the funny part is his reviews don't always match up to his pull quotes.
Yeah.
So that really, I think, is what got him in trouble, is that the quotes that he was giving for movies that were going on posters and stuff like that weren't actually in his review.
Well, you know...
And
the
his
other
review
thing,
would be like the complete opposite
of
the quote.
Avoid this movie at all costs. Right. Well, you know, and I've done some quotes for studios before, and a lot of times I'll send them along if I really like the movie, for example, or sometimes I'll do them and they may be like, you know, the greatest American Pie movie yet, and if you hate it, you say, yeah, because I hated all the other ones. This one was terrible, but it wasn't as bad as the rest of them, so it is the greatest one. You can defend yourself at least. But some of his are like, this movie was awesomely awesome, you know, or something like that.
Right, exactly.
But I think we should replace him.
I think we should too.
Maxim, for, you know.
We get twice as much done.
We are the fat guys.
And you only have to pay us twice as much
fat
as you paid him.
Fat guys at the movies.
Yeah.
Come on.
I don't feel bad for him either. He's got a fallback job at Variety, which is another.
Does he really?
Yeah. So.
He wrote for both of them?
Yeah.
Oh, he needs to be shot.
Yeah, I know. All right. So moving on. Guillermo del Toro is now making kind of a pseudo campaign in interviews that he wants to direct the last Harry Potter movie. You think this is good?
You know, I'm going to go out on a limb and actually say no.
Oh.
And this is why I'm going to say, it's not that I don't think Guillermo del Toro's a good director, because he is. He's a brilliant director. But he's too stylized.
Mm.
And he's too heavy.
You think it would be too different from any other Harry Potter movie?
Well, I think
what's helped the Harry Potter movies is they've never had the person who's such a distinctive director. Mm. It's not like they brought in Michael Bay or something. You know, or I mean, that
dude,
would be awful.
That would be sweet.
That would be
Harry
bad.
Potter with jets flying over him.
Yeah, well, but I mean, so many people nowadays, it's not like they brought in Robert Rodriguez, where suddenly everything's on digital. You know what I mean? You know, yeah. It's the last couple guys have really. Alphonse Cuarón's probably the most stylized, but he really wasn't known, and he really mm-hmm. Wasn't, oh, that's an Alphonse Cuarón movie. I think it's going to look too much like a Guillermo del Toro movie.
Okay.
That's my.
I'll agree with that. I just think it would be kind of cool to see Harry Potter get a little style, because those movies really are bland to me.
Well,
it's
the
same
third
crap
one,
over and over
the
and
third
over.
One's
over.
Really good.
Plus, I think the isn't the last one where like everybody dies? Let's do that.
Well,
I can't wait for that.
If
one.
Guillermo del Toro was going to do any of them, the last one is the best one for him
right.
to do.
So, all right, cool. Moving on, they're making a finally in development, about 15 years too late, a Steven Seagal versus Jean-Claude Van Damme film. The details have not really been released, other than they're both in it.
So Jean-Claude Van Damme is going to be high on coke, and Steven Seagal is going to be eating like a ham hock. And they're going to be sort of fighting each other.
Nice.
I think they should. I said this
I think
to
they should let us write the script.
They should have Forrest Whitaker.
We'll scab.
They should have Forrest Whitaker play Forrest Gump, and his lazy eye can like zap them both.
Nice. Nice. Cool. So next up, the Golden Globes are canceled. Are you sad?
No, I don't think anybody is. Because here's the thing.
The Golden Globes is a crappy... It sucks.
Well, it's
watch.
not that nobody cares about the Golden Globes, because people do. People care about who wins. Just nobody cares about watching it. And the people who watch the Golden Globes swerve into it. They're right. like, oh, let's watch Desperate Housewives. Oh, it's not on. I guess we're gonna watch this. You know,
right?
I think that's what happens. Whereas the Oscars, people plan around, and I think it'd be a lot more significant if the Oscars got canceled. Although I don't think it's gonna happen. I think this thing's gonna be wrapped up within the next month.
Right. Well, I can only hope so. It really does put into question what happens with the Oscars if the strike continues to go. You know, do they get a free pass and everybody shows up to the Oscars? Is that fair to the Golden Globes? I don't think that anyone is going to let the Oscars not happen. I think I read an article of Tom Hanks saying, you know, they need to finish this. The Oscars, you cannot not have the Oscars.
The writers may strike the Oscars. I don't think the actors will sit out. The people, you know who's getting really screwed the most is people like Nikki Blonsky.
Hmm.
You know, this girl is a dream come true,
right.
Big movie. She makes a splash, and suddenly she can't go get her award. And I think those are the people I really feel sorry for.
Right.
And that's why I'm like, come on, actors, why are you cross and picket? They're not writers.
Right.
Cross a picket line. It's only wrong to cross a picket line if you're the scab doing it. If you're another person in the job, it's not your strike.
Right. So, and I
think they're afraid of what's...
There have been a lot of talk about a lot of the studios who are letting go other workers.
Yeah.
Because of the strike, and that's just it's starting to get bad. I think this is the first serious blow that people are really seeing. You know, and if something happens with the Oscars, man, I tell you what. There is going to be a city on the West Coast that is going to be burning.
Well, and the other thing is if they don't, it didn't get bad until January, and now because everyone wanted the time off at Thanksgiving, now it's bad because suddenly people aren't going back to work after the New Year.
Right.
And this is if the reality shows don't take, if they don't get going.
Right.
It's I think going to be a danger.
Yep, it's going to be rough.
And the whole thing, we have another thing. We'll talk real quickly, the UA strike, the UA gets a deal with them, the United Artists and Weinstein's are working on it. I don't think that's going to make a difference
right
now because those are struggling.
Right.
If Warner Brothers does it, it's over.
Right. Yeah. So anyways, we'll be back, wrap you up here in a second. And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies, and let's run down the reviews.
Yes.
So first up was VeggieTales.
Kind of rocks,
okay. And then the Tracy Morgan star vehicle.
Again, to steal a line from Bacon, our guest host a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
Sucks canal water.
Sucks canal water.
Totally.
I don't
sucks
really know
canal.
What that means, but it's kind of funny.
It sounds bad.
Yeah. It does. I mean, who would want to drink canal water?
Who'd want to suck canal water?
Ew.
No.
I don't know. Anyways, and the last one is In the Name of the King, Dungeon Siege Tale. I almost forgot it there for a second.
Because, yeah.
And it preemptively sucks.
Preemptive sucks.
Hardcore. So, yeah, it doesn't look nice. Like a good week at the movies.
You know, Dungeon Siege is going to be sort of like the hot chick at school who just is terrible in bed. It'll look really nice, but you're not going to have fun with it.
Thank God they cut Burt Reynolds out of the trailers. So, anyways, next week we've got Cloverfield. We've got 27 Dresses, which is the big Katherine Heigl movie. Can't wait to hear what you have to say about that.
Her and her teeth.
And Mad Money with Katie Holmes, the mother of the future of Scientology.
Yes, the mother of L. Ron Hubbard's artificially inseminated.
And Queen Latifah is in that one as well.
And so, Diane Keaton.
And an even more significant announcement is that I will not be here next week. Or the week after. I'm taking 2 weeks off to go to the Sundance Film Festival.
Yes.
Which is going to be pretty awesome. So we're going to have some special guest hosts in my chair.
We're going to interview Gwyneth Paltrow and try and
I got all kinds of cool interviews lined up. When I come back, we'll have all those. I may even send them in and you can play them on the show that I'm not on.
Ooh.
Which is very cool, depending on what kind of sound bites we get. But next week, we're going to have David Metzger from Bullseye.com. It's just going to be like, you know, 2 weeks of Bullseye.com meets Fat Guys at the Movies, because we'll have David Metzger on next week, and in 2 weeks we'll have Jason Zingali, who is also from Bullseye.com.
Well, and I think for Jason, when he's here, we're going to do a special tribute to Into the Wild, since he hated
wow.
that movie so much.
You thought I hated Into the Wild. Jason hated it way more than
We'll make sure that's the internet-only segment.
So, anyways, I look forward to those episodes. Also, looking forward to Sundance Film Festival. Keep an eye on filmschoolrejects.com. We'll have all kinds of stuff from Sundance. We got tons of great movies to see. So
and also, for those in Wyoming, those on the radio who are hearing us, go to fatguysatthemovies.com and you can get a chance to win The Girls Next Door Season 4 on DVD.
Exactly. So contact info if you'd like to get a hold of us, fatguysatthemovies.com. You can also email us, fatguysfilmschoolrejects.com. You can get us on the iTunes store. You can call us, 614-388-8735. Kevin, that's all we got, man. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Ta-ta.
Or Sphere with Jeff Goldblum. Love that fucking movie.
Love that?
Yeah.